This is the Lifting Standards Podcast with your host, Dalton Nicholas, a fitness professional with a new age view on the health and fitness lifestyle. Enjoy.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining me again if you're a subscriber. If not, thank you for giving me a chance to woo you with some awesome conversation. I am your host, Dalton Nicholas. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about bodybuilding. I'm extremely excited for this just because this is going to be a little bit more of an opinionated episode. We're going to first start off with what is bodybuilding, go over it for anybody who's just not necessarily completely sure what everything is about it. Then we're going to talk about some of the arguments about bodybuilding. I'm pretty excited for that as well. Things that are fair to say about bodybuilding and things that are unfair to say about it. And then I'm also going to talk about the steps that you would want to take if you are trying to enter your first show as a bodybuilder. And this will come with an asterisk. I have never competed in bodybuilding, but I have been very close to the sport, obviously, as a personal trainer. But even more so, I have had relationships with people who have stepped on stage. So I've been right next to them the whole process through, I guess, would be my experience with the bodybuilding side of things. I kind of got to see how things played out for those individuals. And I think I have a pretty well-educated and experienced view on the bodybuilding scene. Obviously, without stepping on stage, I'm going to have a little bit of a different opinion as if I was someone who stepped on stage. But from an outsider's perspective, with a little bit of an inside perspective as the partner in the experience, I can give you my best outlook on the topic. So that was just a disclaimer for everybody, right? So we're going to jump into the first topic. What is bodybuilding? Obviously, it's, if you've looked it up at all before, it's a sport of basically losing the most or gaining muscle, depending on your body type beforehand. But you're trying to look your best, your physical best. You're trying to please the eye while you're on stage. You're trying to have the best muscle definition, the best size, or just the best overall physique for whatever class you are going to. Women's and men's categories like bikini, figure. They even have like a fitness category, which is a little bit more about flair. There's a normal aspect of the bodybuilding where you just go up on stage and you pose, and then there's also like some sort of fitness routine that's added in there as well. Physique and bodybuilding, and there's a bunch of other subcategories off of that, but those are pretty much the general categories that you could hit. And with those, there's one for women and men, natural and unnatural, I guess, geared. Use of performance-enhancing drugs. There's two different federations for that. So if you are someone who partakes in those performance-enhancing drugs, I would hope you would go to that federation as opposed to trying to compete naturally, which is really messed up, in my opinion. So that will be a huge difference in look for both of those. Obviously, the enhanced division should be bigger and more cut than the natural. I mean, some natural bodybuilders obviously can still hit those crazy cuts too, but obviously with any sort of enhancement, you are able to do a better job. Not to take away from anyone who uses the PEDs, because you still have to bust your absolute ass. I know some people who take steroids and look like absolute shit. I know people who have taken steroids and then come off of them and then look like absolute shit. Like, it doesn't mean just because you've taken or you are taking them doesn't mean you just get to not work hard. Anyone who is taking them still has to eat like a fuck ton of calories just to get up in weight or constrict their calories. And that's also from a perspective of someone who's never taken steroids. So I think that's a pretty, I think most people who haven't taken them would maybe give you the opinion like, oh, that's cheating. And like, oh, that's like, you don't have to work hard if you have steroids. I think I've gone through that mindset, and I think I've gotten, a little bit more self-secure because I feel like insecurity is what causes that belief, because I've seen and just experience in the field, I've seen firsthand what steroids could do for you and what like they can't do for you. And one thing they can't do for you is just make it so you don't have to put in any work at all. Like you can, you using steroids does not mean that you have a free pass to just sit on the couch. Like you still have to go to the gym. You still have to diet correctly for the most part. There's a little bit of a difference in the diet that you could do, but still you need to bust your ass. And for these people that are getting on stage, like it's not even a question that they're working their ass off. So I don't think it's a real issue unless you're enhanced and you're going into these natural federations and just lying. And that is cheating, in my opinion, and I hope everyone else's. So we talked about the categories and a little bit about the steroids. I wanted to talk about that in the next segment, but obviously that's a hot topic, so I must hit that now. Next, I wanted to just say like the timeline of a bodybuilding contest. So if you are in any, I would hope that you wouldn't just jump right into it. I think that's my biggest issue with the glamour of a bodybuilding show is a lot of people just jump right into it and you don't have like the muscle, or maybe you just don't have the muscle endurance to hit the poses on the stage. Like I mean, you can do what you wish, but if you really want to like do well at your first show, you should have lifted for probably around a year and a half to 2 years beforehand, like consistently going to the gym. 1 year minimum, probably. I mean, everyone's genetics could be different and you could build muscle fast, but just having that nice, having enough muscle to then cut down and still have the build that you need for the category that you were going for is going to be a big factor in whether or not you do well in your show or not. For most people who are already at a point where they've been lifting for a long time, prep could be anywhere from 12 to 16 weeks. Some people may even go longer. I think 12 to 16 is a, 16 is like the average, but I'm saying even if people are taking like a show back to back, most people will maybe do two shows. There could be like a small window in between them, so like a mini prep after you've already done a show. But 16 weeks seems to be the usual. 22 weeks seems a bit long, but I mean, whatever works for you will work for you. Longer you have, the more time you have to change everything. So each prep is different, but 16 weeks is probably what I would say is average. And now I'm just going to talk a little bit about the pros and cons of bodybuilding. I really don't think this gets touched on enough. I think a lot of people may just think like, oh, you get a sick body and like that's crazy cool. But like there's a lot of cons that come with the sport as well. And there's a couple pros I think that not a lot of people would think of as well. So I'm going to start with just, I'll probably go pro con. I'm going to start with a pro. Obviously you get the physique that you're looking for. But I think I want to touch on the fact after you're done bodybuilding, I think people should continue to still lift. I think you get a nice, foundation for the rest of your life because it gives you a nice habit of going to the gym consistently, and even the nutritional aspect of it, like you eat well, you know what foods do to you on a different level than most general people do if they never did a bodybuilding competition. So knowing what nutritionally foods will do for you, I think that's a huge pro of competing, because even if you have a coach, you're still learning the whole time. Like what I talked about in the last podcast, you should always be learning from your coaches. Same thing with bodybuilding. You will learn a lot about foods, you'll learn a lot about lifting, but just having those habits for the rest of your life, I think you'll live a much healthier life than as if it opposed to someone who's never done a bodybuilding show. If everything goes as planned. On the flip side of that, here's the con. If you don't win your show or something, you might, and even if you do win your show, just the mental health issue with bodybuilding is something that is not touched on enough. Not that everybody who competes has mental health issues, but basically, it's a drastic word, but starving yourself down to hit that crazy body fat percentage is a real mindfuck to a lot of people, just on the fact that either on the way down, you're going crazy. Most people are going crazy on the way down. Like, that's expected. Like, you're really pushing yourself to the limit or the max to get that body weight, body composition down, excuse me. But after the fact, once you're done competing, you have to go back to like a building stage, or even if you're done competing forever, like, you'll always have that thought, like, oh man, I was up once, I was this shredded and I looked this good. But you're not in this world to just diet. You're not in this world to just keep losing weight. You have so much more value than just what you can do and look on stage. Like, you need to go out and reach out to people and touch other people's lives, as opposed to, like, that's not the end of the world after you stop competing. But that is a con for sure, is just seeing what you have achieved and then looking back at it afterwards. And I don't think it's just bodybuilding, but I think it's highlighted in bodybuilding for sure, just with the pure nature of the sport, getting your body to the absolute best physique that you could possibly get to then go on stage and possibly win an award. And then after that, what's next? You know, like, you're living with a different body for almost 99% of the time outside of those few prep weeks. Even if you do multiple shows, you have, like, maybe if you've done maybe 12 shows, like, you're living in the best shape of your life for probably a week. And that's a and there's air quotes on shape of your life, because just because your body fat percentage is down does not necessarily mean you are healthy in all other aspects by any means. And specifically with women, like, dropping that far down into body fat, low body fat percentages is not necessarily the most healthy by any means. Some women lose their period, their menstrual cycle. Sorry, could use a better word for that. You risk the chance of giving birth at a certain body fat. And it's just, I can see the struggle that it would be for men and women after the show. But in today's society, I think it would be a little bit worse for women for sure, especially after reaching a certain look that they would have, and whatever else would come with that look, and then going back to, let's say, air quote, normal body afterwards. I think it might be a little bit more harsh on women than it would be on men, but definitely men struggle with this as well. Okay, so that was a con. For the next pro, the thing I want to touch on is the confidence that you gain, not just about your, like, your own self-image and things like that, on the flip side of obviously maybe having mental health issues afterwards about your own physique and looking back at it and blah, blah, blah. The pro side of that is that outside of the gym and outside of the stage, in your everyday life, like at work, if you have a different career, you're going to be more confident. You're going to be more productive, at least outside of the 16-week prep. Like, you gain a confidence, you gain a nice pride for whatever you're doing, and usually you have a lot more passion in whatever you're doing, hopefully, if it's something you like. It's really a change of mind, like a mindset change in your life when you're doing one of these shows and you're just really dedicating yourself. You kind of get a sense of purpose, with everything else, hopefully. Obviously, these things don't necessarily happen to every individual, but you can see it with most, at least with my own experience. I've seen it with most people who have done shows. They seem more determined, more passionate about whatever they're working on. So for the next con, I'm just going to really kind of come at the sports judging system, because it's kind of hard to understand what you might have done wrong in a prep. Like, usually the, like, cards that you'd get back, or if you speak to the judges, they could basically say you just didn't come in, you came in flat, which that is the only thing I've ever really understood as, like, feedback from judges, is you came in flat. Like, of course, like, you've been dieting for 16 weeks, and if you don't get your carb up right, or if you get your hydration wrong the week of prep or the peak week, I can understand that. But just the guidelines for who's the best or who should win are just a little blurry to me. And obviously, like, if any of you guys have your own opinion on this, please, like, I think you can send me a voice message through the Anchor app or come to my Instagram training page, Lifting Standards Training, and let me know in a DM or whatever you really think about the bodybuilding sport. If you have any arguments with any of the stuff that I'm bringing up here, this is most certainly an open debate, welcoming all conversation. And I think, back to the point, I think that the judges might, obviously you can't have the same judges for every show out there, unfortunately, but if there was some sort of like written like guidelines that were understandable, I think it would be a little bit better. I understand that in like a bikini look, you don't want to come in as hard. These are the words that they will use. Like, you don't want to look too hard. You don't want to have too big of muscles in this category. You're kind of looking for the big glutes, big, nice hamstring tie-in, nice legs, very like well done makeup and hair, and the nice walk routine down. Like, those are the highlights, I believe. And then in more of a figure, you're looking for that more like built look, harder. And you see the struggle to find words for it is probably my lack of experience in the bodybuilding world, I suppose. But also, I think there's an issue with the way that they are judged or the guidelines that they give. And for the men's side of it, I believe the physique? Yeah, men's physique. You wear board shorts in that, and that's kind of, I don't even really want to say like the men's bikini version, because I don't want to disrespect anybody by any means on either end of it. But that's more of a modelish look, I would like to say. The physique is more like the upper body, not, you're in board shorts, so your quads and your hamstrings and glutes aren't showing too much. But that's more of a, looking for the words. Not, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but it's pretty similar to bikini in the fact that they're looking for a nice modelish look. Like, it's hard for me to find the words for that, but, it's more upper body. You have like a similar walkthrough as the bikini competitions do. You walk up and then you also get your single out call, which could be true in all of them except for, I believe, fitness is, like I said at the beginning, is different than most of them. Back onto the subject, I just would like a easier way of knowing and a more clear-cut way of seeing who is actually the best one out there. And I might even go as far as saying, like, measure, like, if you could take some of the metrics into it. I just like stats, man. I'm a stats guy, and it's all based off looks, and it's so hard for me to grasp my head around. So maybe I'm alone on this one, maybe I'm not. You can let me know for sure. But I just don't, I have a hard time without any sort of stats in a sport, you know, because it's all about based off looks. And what looks good to me may not look good to you. So it's kind of a tough thing there. And that's all I'm going to do for the pros and cons, just because I could probably do that all day. But those are my top like four, or maybe I think I didn't. Yeah, four. Those are my pros and cons for sure. And I just want to say, like, the next thing I'm talking about is benefits. I said pros, but these are benefits of just doing it as like a business or a promotional idea. Because when you go into these shows, they cost money. So if you're looking at it simply outside of the health and benefits, outside of those portions, if you're going into it as an athlete, like trying to get sponsorships and things like that, the benefits that you gain from it are, you gain some exposure. So that's like the number one thing, obviously. And if you're trying to be a professional at this sport, you need that in order to gain any sort of sponsorships with companies or make any real money. So the exposure you get from it, that's obvious. That comes with, like, you get your pro card at certain events. Once you walk, first show you walk in, you're an amateur or novice. and depending on how many shows you have done at that point. And you could still enter the third class, which is open, which anybody, people have done 30 shows, they can still do those if they haven't won enough. So you can go into those categories to get, and then once you win an open, I believe you get your pro card. And then you can go to a pro show. This is why I brought up the fact that people do preps back to back sometimes, because if you win your pro card, maybe there's a pro show that's coming up after that and you don't want to wait another 8 months. And your pro card is only good for a year, depending on the federation. But that is the one that I am most familiar with. I believe it's IFBB. I could be wrong. But anyway, back to the main point of the benefit. You get exposure to these companies. And then when you win your pro show, you win enough of those, you get to go to Worlds. And then after that, I'm honestly not too sure where you would go after that. But I know that this would be the road that you would take to try to become a serious and competitive and professional bodybuilder and make money at this sport. And then also when you're doing these things, a lot of like social media presence is key for you to gain any exposure or following or any sort of power outside of the stage. And I think that is the number one benefit for most people doing it. Number two, you meet a lot of cool people along the way. This is probably not number two on a lot of people's list, but doing the bodybuilding shows, you'll probably meet a coach if you pay for one. And those are usually some pretty nice people. You'll meet other people at the gym, which happens whenever you go to the gym, obviously, but you're there a lot. So you'll probably be able to have more interactions with people. So that's huge. And then when you're at these shows, there's so many people there. It is crazy. It is absolutely insane. Even the small shows that I've been to, there's so many people there. So you can definitely make connections there. And if you do more than one show a year, the amount of connections you make are going to be insane. Especially if you're a talkative person, like outgoing, this is going to be awesome for you in that sense or that regard. I think most of the people that do the shows and make these connections, it's a little bit easier the next time around when you have all these connections because these people are going through it with you. And I think overall for your career, it would be great to talk to more people there. Or, I mean, if you're really focused while you're there, you can just go straight up on stage and come back and that's it. But I think you're missing out on one of the benefits of the sport as well. Thirdly, for the benefits of bodybuilding as a sport or as an athlete or a business, I guess, the free advertising for your own whatever you're selling. So if you have your own brand like Lifting Standards, liftingstandards.com, if you have like a coaching service or whatever you're doing, that is like free advertisement. Like, hey, this is what I know how to do. I could help you do the same thing. And I think that is probably the most taken advantage of benefit, and not in a bad way. I think it's just the most capitalized, I should say. I think that is the most capitalized benefit of bodybuilding by far, because I can see, the amount of people that are doing shows, I have no stats on this, but I'm sure it's increasing because it's getting to my little hometown. And the amount of people that I know have done bodybuilding competitions from my hometown are skyrocketing in the last few years. It may be the industry that I'm in, but I really do think that the amount of people that are doing bodybuilding shows are increasing. And the people that need coaches are increasing. So if you are able to sell a coaching service for a 16-week prep, that's a good amount of cheese, man. That's a good amount of cheese. The amount of people that are purchasing coaches, I think, are rising as well, because it's a hard thing to do by yourself. And if you don't necessarily have the best support system, like, you can buy one and someone who's even going to make like your nutrition plan better or your training better. And it kind of takes the decision making out of it for you. So that's a little bit more comforting when you're going into a competition like that as well. And the list could go on, but I'm going to stop there. We are going to take a quick sponsored break. We will be right back with the second segment, which is going to be just the fair and unfair things to say about bodybuilding. I hope you stay to continue the conversation with me. All right. And we're back and better than ever. Thank you for listening to that. I appreciate you. On to segment two, where we are going to talk about things that are fair and unfair to talk or say about bodybuilding. I guess I will start with something that is fair to say. It is fair to assume that the person or people who are bodybuilding have a good amount of knowledge based around training or nutrition. What is unfair to say or think, I guess I could put this out there, is to think that you have to do exactly what they're doing. So this is just a weird topic that I wanted to hit because I've seen it a little bit here and there throughout the time that I've spent in the industry, where people will do a show and then they'll think they're able to be a coach like after one go around. No, like especially if you bought a coach to assist you with your prep, that does not mean that you are able to then tell everyone else what to do. Obviously, people are going to be very impressionable towards you or with you when you have just done a competition, especially if you won said competition. But it does not mean that every person knows everything about every person who has done a bodybuilding show. Does not have the open go-ahead to teach other people. I think I might be a little bit biased to this just because I'm a personal trainer. And I'm not saying that I know more than every bodybuilder out there, because I know for a fact that there's bodybuilders that know way more than me. I'm really trying to put a thumb down on people who do a single competition or a couple competitions that they have used a coach and use them for the knowledge aspect of it, not just for the accountability and the support aspect of it, like just generally using it for the knowledge aspect of the coach and then thinking that they can go on and tell everyone else how to train or what's good and bad and nutrition wise and blah, blah, blah. So that is what I would like to say is not fair about bodybuilding, is that aspect of it. But I will say after that, for a counter argument to myself in this self conversation, that there are some incredibly smart bodybuilders out there, and you know who you are, and you would not be offended by this because you know what I'm saying is absolutely true about some other bodybuilding friends, or I don't even know what you would call them, colleagues at that point, but you would know it's true. So if you are not offended by that, I applaud you, and I'm sure that you could or most likely are smarter than me if you have done this for a long amount of time. And I just the amount of knowledge that some of these people have, like the very like big named bodybuilders, it's absolutely crazy. They take the body's physiology so to an advanced level in their training or in their nutritional programming. It's insane. It's hard to wrap your mind around it. For some of these people's physiques are just massive. It's crazy to think about. And yeah, they may have a team behind them, but some of these people who are doing it themselves, it's crazy. It's really respectable and commendable from my point of view. Next on the fair and unfair list, I would say that it is fair to say that most people have a incorrect view on bodybuilding from the general population aspect of it. And I will then flip side it for the unfair thing that most of those people would say is that anyone who's in bodybuilding, they're lucky that they have that physique. They're lucky. Oh my God, that freaking grinds my gears, man. So anytime anybody says they're lucky, oh my God, just discontinue everything else. Like, oh my goodness. They're not lucky. They are working their ass off, most likely, unless they have some sort of crazy new PED that I haven't heard of. Everyone who's in the bodybuilding sport is working their ass off every single day, like around the clock. It's such a lifestyle. Like, they have to do so much in order to obtain that physique. They have to sacrifice so much. So it's really unfair for people to say that they're lucky to have that. And it's a choice that those people are making. You know, those times where you make the choice to go out and have ice cream with your kids, maybe these people are just bringing their kids to get ice cream and like not enjoying it with them. There's a lot of sacrifices and choices that these people are making. So it's unfair to say just they're lucky. Like, no, they're sacrificing every day. And that's like kind of disrespect. That's 100% disrespectful for you to say that they're just lucky. Now if another bodybuilder is saying it to maybe someone who puts in the equal amount of work, like if you are both absolutely equal and one of you turns out bigger, like maybe that's a little bit of luck in the genetics game. But other than that, genetics really, like, you can't make all the hard work that someone puts in and label it as genetics just because you're insecure. Like, that's really messed up, and it's just untrue. And that's why it's under the unfair category of this topic. For the next fair thing to say, I would say it is fair to assume that anyone who is bodybuilding has a elevated level of determination, self-worth, I'd hope. Maybe that one's a little off the mark, but determination for sure. They have a higher level of body composition. They care a little bit more about their body composition, maybe strictly for the sport or maybe for everyday life, but that's not a bad thing. And now we'll get into the unfair part. It is not fair to just say that they are self-absorbed and a douchebag. Like, no, I've met plenty of people who bodybuild and they are the sweetest, most kind people I've ever met in my life, and most certainly are not self-absorbed and they care about others. Like, it's not fair to say that about those people. And I don't really, like, this is kind of turning into like debunking some of these myths. And I think I'm in a position to debunk them because I've been around these people who bodybuild at a very close and personal level, but also because I've never bodybuilt, and this is usually where the missiles of, oh, you're self-absorbed, I'm in the position where most people will say, oh, that person's self-absorbed or are a douchebag for caring that much about their six-pack. Like, it's not about that for these people that are bodybuilding. It's about the determination. It's about their competition with themselves practically every single time they step on the stage. This is not anything to do with the fact that they're self-absorbed or are a douchebag or anything to say about their character. Obviously, they care a little bit more about their body composition than the normal everyday person. That's not a bad thing. Clearly, like, most of these people can live healthy lives afterwards. So if someone who is obese and sitting on the couch and working a 9-to-5 and is just not happy with their life, it would make a lot of sense for them to attack someone in a much better situation body composition wise. But that does, the insecurities of the general population does not determine the truth of the mindset of a bodybuilder. Like, that is not, that's such a big myth. And I'm not saying they don't exist. It's just like a stereotype that doesn't fit all of them. And I understand there are going to be those douchey bodybuilders that go to your gym. Like, I understand that some of them, that yes, they do exist, but it's not all of them. And I've personally been lucky enough to encounter a handful of them who are not that. And they opened up my eyes to the fact that they're are not all the same. So trying to kill that stereotype myself, that is something that I think is definitely unfair to say about bodybuilders in general. Another thing to, I guess, debunk as a myth, or just however you want to word it, a thing that is fair to say is that bodybuilders will definitely spend a larger amount of time in the grocery store or in the gym or work or doing some sort of cardio. Something that's unfair to say is that they're wasting their time. you're able to do a lot of things while you're on a cardio machine on your phone, and maybe it be business or whatnot. It is not a waste of time, especially to them. First of all, second of all, like, who are these people to tell you what you do with your time? Like, you say that this is like the healthiest things you can basically be doing for yourself: going to the gym, doing cardio, eating healthy, like spending more time in the grocery store to eat healthier things. None of those things are a waste of time. And if you're in a position where you're wasting, like, I'm not saying I don't do this, but if you're in a position where you're watching like 6 hours of Netflix a day, like, who are you to say to someone else you're wasting your time? And you really should be in I wouldn't be throwing stones in a glass house is basically the idea of this entire segment, but specifically on this one as well. Because I don't see how anyone could say that it's a waste of time, like, or even just not worth it for any of the, like, people who say these things, like, it's not worth it. Obviously, like, it's not your life, first of all, and second of all, like, it's a pretty healthy thing that most of these bodybuilders are doing, for the most part. Obviously, the individual cases where it's, like, unhealthy or driven by some sort of eating disorder or mental health issue, that's not healthy, obviously. But for most people in bodybuilding, it's pretty healthy what they're doing in the gym and the cardio sessions and all the eating and stuff. So I would say keep the opinions to yourself, and definitely not saying them to the bodybuilders, just because you're just gonna, you can ruin someone's day with that, man. Like, especially anyone in deep in a prep or something, like, maybe your three words that you say to them, like, ruins their prep. Like, hopefully they're in a mental state where they're not that vulnerable, but, like, preps get hard. Like, I've seen it firsthand, and any little thing could throw you off and make you eat or just upset you, ruin your training day. A lot of things could happen. So just keep your words to yourself about the bodybuilding, and just mind your business, basically. There's no reason to, like, come at any of these people. And I don't really want to, it's almost like I'm making them sound like a race, but this is just a hobby / sport that these people are doing. It's a lifestyle. I shouldn't say hobby. And it's not a bad one. So, like, why judge these people for making such a good life decision, and making such healthier choices? I wish more people made the healthy choices. I don't necessarily care if more people are doing bodybuilding, but I want more people to make more healthy choices in their life. So I commend anyone who is bodybuilding and going through that mental determination to get through the entire prep. Okay, so with that segment closed off and all the myths debunked, we will now jump into segment 3, which is just becoming a bodybuilder. Like, what would be the steps that you should take if you wanted to become one? I'm sure, like, there might be a little thought, like, hey, it's super easy to be a bodybuilder, but no, it's not. It is most certainly one of the most incredible feats that I have witnessed by another close to me human. It's very mindset wise, it's very hard to wrap your head around, to just choose to go this hard or extreme at this thing that maybe you just picked up a year ago, or maybe you just picked up however long ago you started. But I would say that I wouldn't jump right into it. I said that at the beginning. You should probably have like a year, year and a half, all the way up to 2 years of working on building muscle before you start, depending on your body composition. Obviously, everyone's different. You should work on your posing. Man, that is such an underrated part of it. So let's get back. I'm sorry, I got off track. Let's get back to the how to become a bodybuilder, the steps that you should take. So step one, you should probably get a coach. Like, unless you have an extensive knowledge of the human physiology, you should get a coach. I'll say it again. Get a coach. This way you're not damaging yourself. This way you're not doing it the wrong way, starting to cut too soon. This way, you know, if you have a good coach, you can trust him, and you'll be able to get through this with a support system. Like, a coach is the number one thing you should do, unless you have extensive knowledge. And even if you do, like, the support that you get from the coach is definitely worth the money. Like, you should definitely, and outside of your coach, you should try to build some sort of support system with your friends and family to get you through this prep, because it's going to be hell. Absolutely hell. So that would be my step one. Step two, after you get a coach for your nutrition and your exercise, if they don't do posing help, if you can't get a live, if he's like over the email or online rather, if you can't get one in person, you should get one in person. If that coach can't do it in person, you should get an in-person posing coach. Posing is the most underrated part of bodybuilding. Nutrition, incredibly hard. Working out, like, it gets super intense. Like, you got to bust your ass. Posing is the most crucial part. That's like, so for every sport, you have basketball, and in basketball, you go to the weight room, and that's like your training, and then you have skill practice on the court. Posing is bodybuilding's skill practice. Like, that is the skill that you need to be able to go. And going up there and holding those poses without shaking, without ruining, like, you're going to sweat with those hot stage lights on you, but without shaking, the most importantly, and not fatiguing out before you are done, is going to be the most important thing you do as a bodybuilder. That is that you need a lot of practice in that. And just getting the confidence with it down too, you need to have some swagger out there, man. You need to stick out. There's so many people up there that look similar to you. You need to have something that says, hey, look at me. Whether it's in your physique, whether it's in your walk, or whether it's in your posing, you need to have something that, like, sticks you out of the crowd so you win that competition. So that would be my second thing. Nail that posing. Third thing, crush your prep, obviously. You should continuously be taking some you time. I know the gym, the grocery store, work, cardio, you may think any of those might be, but, like, especially in a relationship, you should try to have some time with them, obviously, but you're going to need some you time just to kind of unwind, because you're going to be stressing your mental fortitude throughout the entire prep. So I just would like to emphasize the fact that it's not going to be the best time of your life during your prep. The moment you step on stage, there's nothing else like it. Like, you are going to feel like you are on cloud nine. And then, but the 16 weeks before that, you're going to feel like you're all the way at the bottom of fucking hell's pit. Like, it's going to be horrible for you. It's not fun for most people. It's very a lot of determination. So just be ready for that. I think knowing what class you should fit in is something that I should talk about here. It's not really a decision for you. It's your body type at the time. So if you don't have a lot of muscle mass, but you have big glutes, like, you should be in bikini. If you don't have big legs, but you have a nice upper body, you got good lat spread, like, very nice pretty face, I guess, you should be in men's physique. But if you have too big of muscles too, like, you shouldn't, like, the same thing goes for the other way around. If you have, like, a very big build, muscle wise you probably shouldn't be trying to do bikini, and you probably shouldn't be trying to do physique. Like, if your legs are busting through your board shorts, it's not going to work out for you. So those are my main things that I wanted to talk about for what you should be doing to get into bodybuilding. You should be learning too. Like, eventually you'd want to be able to do your preps yourself, maybe with just the support coach, not necessarily for all the knowledge and things that they would have. You should be learning about your own physiology. You should be learning about, nutrition, exercise, and you could honestly turn this into a career. Like, a lot of people who personal train do bodybuilding, and it's a great, like, hobby outside of your career that keeps you really passionate about your career. And it's a great marketing tool for you to have for your career. But you should just be always learning while you're in it. Don't get stuck in your old ways. Like, keep up on the latest science behind some things, like fasted cardio, or what's the best way to build muscle, what's the best way to burn fat, like, just burn calories, not fat specifically. you should be keeping up with that, because if you're behind in the times, you're going to be behind in the ranking at the end of the day on your show day. You need to stay up on everything. And that'll bring me into my last thing that I want to talk to you about, like supplements for bodybuilding naturally. I'm talking about no like PEDs or anything. Supplements that you should be using, or I guess learning about, whatever you want to do. You don't necessarily need a supplement for bodybuilding, but you're going to be depleting yourself. So I think supplementation throughout your prep will be a big thing. Not like 17 supplements, but just a couple of supplements that you should be trying to still get your micronutrients, especially when you're going so low body fat. You should probably have a protein shake. It's going to be hard to eat all that protein depending on your nutrition plan. And maybe a couple like the protein bars or the protein snacks. Like, this is just personal opinion. When you're on a prep, I've seen it firsthand with some people, like those protein bars taste like actual cake for them at that time, especially when you've gone so long without having what you're really like indulge on when you're normally outside of prep. So that's pretty much all I have for you on how you would become a bodybuilder. Like I said, I've never stepped on stage, but I've been very close to, with other people who have, and I've seen it firsthand. So that is my tips and tricks, I guess. And then I talked about the myths and the debunking all those ridiculous stereotypes, and we also just touched on a little bit of what bodybuilding is. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you got any questions, you want to talk to me about bodybuilding, or you want to maybe come at me with some crazy claim about any of my opinions, my Instagram is Lifting Standards Training, and then there's also Lifting Standards, which is more for just the clothing line. You can buy any of the clothes or my coaching services on liftingstandards.com. Go ahead and check that out. And if you wanted to listen to any of the other podcasts, you can go there and click the podcast app you prefer. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. There's going to be a new one every single Monday. I'm literally recording outside of my own studio right now to make sure that this episode gets up on Monday. So you know it's true. We are really putting out a new episode every Monday. If you tune into my Instagram, Lifting Standards Training, we hold a poll every week for what the episode should be. So this is very much whatever you're interested in. You have a voice in this podcast direction. Thank you so much for listening. All the love that I get, man, I really can't thank you all enough. This has been great. I've been having a great couple of weeks with the Lifting Standards podcast. Everybody is being so kind. I've got a couple more announcements coming out later in the week, so make sure you follow that Lifting Standards Training. A new athlete is going to be joining us, and I'm super excited for this stuff, man. So I hope you are as excited as I am. I will see you next Monday. Make sure you vote on what the next podcast should be. Thank you. Peace.